From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, we're just 18 days away from Election Day. What do the polling trends reveal? Are the growing reports of left-wing violence random, or is there an intentional effort to intimidate conservative-leaning voters? Chris Wilson with WPA Intelligence joins us in just a moment. And Secretary of State Mike Pompeo returned to the U.S. after his trip to Saudi Arabia and Turkey, briefing the president on his trip, looking into the alleged death of a Washington Post reporter, Jamal Khashoggi. He asked the president to give the Saudis time to complete their investigation before acting. Now, what kind of impact could this have on the U.S. military strategy in the already turbulent Middle East? We'll talk about that, as well as the president calling for the military to go to the southern border, potentially, to stop an incoming group of immigrants from entering the United States. We'll talk with our own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin about the role of our military. And what is a worldview? You probably know that answer, but do you know how many Christians in America actually have a biblical worldview? The answer may shock you. Researcher and pollster George Barna is here a little later on Washington Watch. And we'll be taking your phone calls later on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. And let me ask you, have you taken the pledge? That is the pledge to pray, the pledge to vote, and the pledge to stand. To stand for the values and the truths that this nation is built upon. All right, go to PrayVoteStand.com. All right, we're in the home stretch heading into the 2018 midterm elections. Voter turnout typically sags across the board in midterm elections. Not as many people vote as they do in a presidential year. But the trends seem to be a little bit different in this election cycle. There seems to be energy on both sides of the political aisle, if you will. And what about the growing left-wing violence that we are seeing? Is it designed to intimidate conservative voters? Now, this all started back with, you remember back this summer, Maxine Waters, congresswoman from California, when she went on this, she was speaking at a rally and basically just told people to go after Trump supporters, conservatives. This is just to remind you, this is what she said.
If you see anybody from that cabinet in a restaurant, in a department store, at a gasoline station, you get out and you create a crowd. And you push back on them. And you tell them they're not welcome.
Now, of course, that preceded the Kavanaugh hearing in which 400 people were arrested. And then we've had outbreaks of violence, of left-leaning, self-described anarchists going after conservative candidates, conservative voters, and even pro-life individuals outside of clinics. With us now to discuss this is veteran pollster and political consultant Chris Wilson, CEO and founder of WPA Intelligence. Chris, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks, Tony. Thanks for having me on.
Okay, what are the trends, or are there any trends beginning to emerge just 18 days away from the election?
You know, it's still pretty far out, and that's what we've learned in the 2018 cycle is 18 days is an eternity, right? But what I am seeing right now is Republican enthusiasm has lagged below Democratic enthusiasm for the entire cycle. You and I have probably talked about this 10 times on your show. But since the Kavanaugh hearings, and the big question to me by everybody, I mean, I talked about it, I think, a couple weeks ago, post-Kavanaugh hearings, was would it maintain itself? And I can tell you, as you know, I'm doing Senate races in Texas, Arizona, Nevada, Montana, Dakota, Missouri, Tennessee. And each one of those races, what I am seeing as recent as last night is Republican enthusiasm is at least matching and in some cases exceeding Democratic enthusiasm. And so I do think this will start to pull itself out at the polls as we go into states that have early voting. Said, I want to caution against judging too much from early voting, because you remember, Tony, again, going back to conversations we've had, leading up to the primary vote in Texas, Democrats were doing big slaps prior to the primary because they were, the numbers were showing the Democrats were voting much more heavily than Republicans were. And then what happened on Election Day is the Republican vote doubled what the Democrat vote was. And so I'm not overly I do think as we start to see it, we have to wait for several days of data to present itself. But from an overall perspective of where the voters are, I am very bullish right now on Republican opportunities to pick up anywhere.
Hold on, Chris. We're losing you just a second. We're going to try to establish a better connection there with Chris. But the reality is, as he said, 18 days, that's almost, you know, I hate to use the word eternity, but it's a long time in politics because any number of things can change the dynamics. You know, there can be an international incident. There could be, I mean, back in 2008, when John McCain was running and as the Republican against Barack Obama, the Democrat, remember the stock market meltdown, the downturn in the economy? That had a tremendous impact in the home stretch of the election. And so there's any number of things that could occur that could shift the election. So I'm wondering if Chris sees any. Chris, do you see anything on the horizon that that could kind of alter the trends that we're seeing? Oh, I think we lost him. All right, we're going to see if we can get. All right, I think we got him. Chris, do you see anything that could potentially occur that's maybe on the horizon, maybe this event in Saudi Arabia, that could alter the current trends we're seeing?
You know, it's a good question, and I always hesitate to speculate too much about what the impact of a certain event is going to be. But at this point, what I see voters making decisions are pocketbook issues specific to them. It's why I think Democrats have been committing a mistake when they run on national issues and forgetting the axiom that all politics are local. So where I see Democrats having success or Republicans having success is whenever they're talking about local issues, the issues specific to a state. And I'll give you one example of that. A friend of yours and mine, Ted Cruz. I mean, Ted Cruz has made his race against Beto O'Rourke all about issues to the state of Texas, whether it is O'Rourke's call to abolish ICE, whether it's O'Rourke's vote to add $10 a gallon tax to a barrel of oil, whether it is O'Rourke calling police officers in Texas the new Jim Crow. Each one of those issues have had the impact of making O'Rourke a less acceptable political figure to Texas voters and making the race and widening Cruz's lead in the race. And I think that is when you see Democrats talking about issues that are more national in their perspective or even international, you point out the Khashoggi situation, I think they make a mistake with that. And so I believe in the races that I'm involved in, it is better for a candidate to talk about local issues. About to be decided on local issues.
So it's really those issues that are closest to the voter that they feel the impact of, that they feel like this somehow impacts their life directly.
That's exactly right, Tony. And, you know, you could go through every single one of these competitive races and come to a conclusion as to how the candidate is doing that. I think Josh Hawley's done a good job of that in Missouri. Kevin Cramer's done it in North Dakota. Matt Rosendale's done it in Montana, and certainly Marsha Blackburn's done it in Tennessee. And so from that standpoint of these races where you see either open seats or seats to Republicans and opportunity to pick up, and that's why you see them doing as well as they are. And Democrats have been running this cookie-cutter campaign on health care and about President Trump in some cases, I mean, not in the United States I just mentioned, but where they have had a hard time differentiating themselves from the National Democratic Party. And mm-hmm. It kind of takes back to the clip at the beginning. You played with Maxine Waters. I mean, that is the one thing that is deadly for Democrats to be in these swing states and these competitive races is to be associated with this sort of this mob mentality that seems to be coming out of National Democrats right now.
Well, let's talk about this. I would say unprecedented, at least in modern time, of violence that we're seeing now. As you know, we mentioned Maxine and her call to get in people's face to create the crowd, the mob that has now kind of emerged as the face of the left. So is this, I mean, is it random or is this somehow designed to try to intimidate conservatives from voicing their views and even voting?
Well, you know, it's if there were isolated incidents here and there, I would say it's random and it is unplanned. But you continue to see it. And I have to mention one specific case where a very good friend of mine, Kristen Davidson, who's Adam Laxalt's campaign manager in Nevada, was attacked two nights ago by a Democrat operative with American Bridge, which for any of your viewers who are not, or your listeners, sorry, who are not familiar with that, it is what are called trackers, where they just follow candidates around and film every single thing they say and try and ask very kind of gotcha sort of questions. And this tracker, this American Bridge tracker, had been brought up on charges before for becoming violent with specific candidates. And he actually grabbed Kristen's arm, twisted it behind her back. He's a big guy. And started yelling at Adam Laxalt, if you want this to stop, answer my question. And again, Tony, remember what I said, this is not the first time he's done this. And American Bridge had kept him on their employment rolls up until they finally let him go after this incident. And
well,
I think
we,
it is,
didn't we,
you
look, didn't we see that back in the 2016 election? The Democrats were actually sending people into the Trump campaign to their events to try to stir things up?
Yeah, we absolutely did. And I think it is, but it's gone to an entirely new level now. And it is really, it's unfortunate. And we almost had someone almost killed with Steve Scalise from your home state. And yeah. We just look at what the fact that they keep calling for this, the Democrats keep calling for this, keep pushing for this, I think is really frightening because it is, I've been with Ted Cruz whenever he has been harassed by people in restaurants and happened to him again yesterday in an airport. I've been around other people who have been recognized, or there are people who do nothing more but more than political commentary on television, like Kat Kim from Fox News had somebody come and pour a water over her head while she was at a social event. So what is, I think the anger and this mob mentality that is occurring and the fact that you don't see Democrats denouncing it is really concerning about the direction that we're taking politics in our country.
I could not agree more. And I'm going to talk more about that because, folks, I think there's more to be said there. Chris Wilson, out of time. Thanks so much for joining us. Always great to talk with you. And I'm sure we're going to be checking back in with you over the course of the next 18 days.
Sounds great. Thanks, Tony. Appreciate you having me on. Sorry about the connection difficulties.
No problem. Chris Wilson, to find out more, go to the website, TonyPerkins.com. Look, this is designed to cause you to go silent, to go into the shadows, and even, I think, to discourage you from voting, certainly from discouraging you from voicing your views. Now, I do not think that we should respond in kind, okay? Just don't even consider that. We don't do things that way. But we should not go silent because that's exactly what they want. And you know, it will not appease them. It will not cause them to stop. That will only encourage them to do more of this every time they don't get their way. Do not go silent. All right, coming up next, a caravan of migrants fleeing Honduras and other Central American nations are heading to the U.S. southern border, and the president says he may send troops. We'll talk about that and the volatility of the Middle East with General Jerry Boykin next. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, Civil Liberties Attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, Senior Research Fellow in the Technology Policy Program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website is tonyperkins.com. Also, be sure and take the pledge to pray, to vote, and to stand. Go to prayvotestand.com. Also, mark your calendars coming up on November the 4th, the event. Mike Huckabee will be there. I'll be there. Andrew Womack, Mike Ferris, several others, Kristen Hawkins. This is an event Sunday night, November the 4th, as we move toward election. What's at stake? You can register. Your church can be a part of this. It's going to be coming live from Colorado. Go to theevent2018.com to register. Theevent2018.com to register. All right, President Donald Trump earlier today suggested that he might deploy American troops to the U.S. southern border to deal with, quote unquote, the assault on their country from those who are illegally trying to enter in. This caravan has swollen to a massive, massive caravan. Is that the proper role for the military? Also, the Middle East, relationships with Saudi Arabia could be teetering, depending on what comes out of the investigation of the Washington Post reporter that was allegedly killed in the consul there in Turkey. We'll be the consulate in Turkey. We'll be talking about that as well. And with us now is Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin. He serves as the Executive Vice President of FRC, one of the original members of the U.S. Army's Delta Force. General, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hey, thank you, Tony. I'm glad to be with you.
Hey, let's start first with the border. The president is saying that he might send troops down to the southern border if we see this caravan trying to illegally enter the country. Is that a mission that the military can take on?
Well, as you very well know from your oath, you know, you sworn to defend the nation against all enemies, foreign and domestic. You can make the case that this is really a domestic threat to whom. But you know, we need to remember that Mr. Trump sent troops to the border just in the spring of this year. They're not armed. They're not allowed to carry weapons. We need to do construction, reconstruction, and sort of civic activities down there. In terms of enforcing laws associated with crossing that border, they have no authority to do that.
The guard has had a presence down there. I mean, that's going to be, I mean, the president obviously very committed to ensuring that the security of the border is maintained. I just think the timing of this right before an election, we were talking earlier with Chris Wilson, how really the driving issues in these elections are local issues. But immigration has been such a hot button issue. This is liable to push it to the forefront right at election time. So we'll be watching that in the next several days as that unfolds. Let me transition to the Middle East. I mean, it's already a very volatile region. Saudi Arabia, long been a strategic ally of the United States, even though their human rights record is not good. They have not been respectful toward religious freedom. In fact, they've been at the top of the list of abusers when it comes to religious freedom. Now caught up in this alleged murder of a Washington Post reporter, Khashoggi, they have been a counterbalance to Iran. They've been a key part of our kind of keeping order in the Middle East. How significant could this alter things in the Middle East if our relationship with them changes?
Well, as you said, they're a strategic ally, and this is big, Tony. This is very big. And I think that we need to understand that economically we have ties. In fact, they may be probably second to China and Canada in terms of, you know, real dollars that are exchanged, you know, in the free market economies. So this is big. Right now, everything that we know is coming from the Turkish government. What we do know is that at least some of the people that were in the embassy of Saudi Arabia the day that he disappeared are known to be associated with the Crown Prince, Prince Mohammed. And he is, on the one hand, he's a reformer, but at the same time, this is not the first time that journalists have disappeared, you know, at the hands of the Saudis. So I think that everything points back to him, either having knowledge of it or being in support of it. That is very significant because he is actually a reformer. And the people in Saudi Arabia today are quite supportive of him, particularly those under the age of 30, because he is only 33 himself. So this changes the strategic balance. If we have a total disruption of the diplomatic relations with the Saudis, and keep this in mind as a final thought, Saudi Arabia would be key to any kind of preemptive strike that Israel would run against the Iranian nuclear program. Now, God forbid that it ever comes to that. But Saudi Arabia would be key in terms of airspace and staging bases. And they have been helping now with this Palestinian issue there. So this is a big issue. And I hope that it can be resolved. It all points back to the Crown Prince in my mind.
In that relationship, you mentioned Israel, the relationship between the Saudis and Israel has actually been fairly good. Again, the common enemy of Iran pulling them together. Saudi Arabia has a lot of the money. They've been supportive of a lot of the military actions the United States has had to undertake in the Middle East. It's fascinating how one event could literally alter the geopolitical landscape of that entire region of the world.
Well, that's exactly right, and it could. This one event absolutely could, and I think the fact that the president has told Secretary Mnuchin not to go to the conference there in Saudi Arabia is he's firing a shot across their bow. I think that, first of all, he recognizes the optics of letting him go to this while we're still in this state of uncertainty about what actually happened. But I think it's also a message to the Saudi government there. And I tell you, it will take a prophet to figure out what's going to happen in the aftermath of this because there really are no good solutions here.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll be watching it very closely. General Boykin, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Tony.
And Mike Pompeo wisely told the president, wait until Saudi completes their report, then we'll make the decision. All right, coming up next, Christian worldview, biblical worldview. How many Christians have it? We'll talk with George Barna next here on Washington Watch.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen, sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country, and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. All right, a new study that has been released today. In fact, I think we're the first ones to report about it. Finds that fewer adults have a biblical world today than they did 2 years ago. We're on the decline, not the increase. Joining us now is researcher and best-selling author George Barna, who serves as the president of Meta Formation. George, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony. Good to be with you again.
All right. Let's start with, I think most of our listeners know this, but let's start with a biblical worldview. What is a biblical worldview?
Well, everybody has a worldview. A worldview essentially is the way that you experience and understand, interpret, and respond to reality. And so a biblical worldview would be where all the decisions that you make, your beliefs, your values, your morals, your behavior, everything that you do goes through that mental filter where you're trying to make sense of reality and puts it in the context of biblical principles. So what we're talking about are people who are trying to not just believe what the Bible says, but really delegate that or take that and interpret it into the way that they behave from moment to moment. And so that's what we're studying in this research, is how many people have that kind of worldview that allows them to not only think like Jesus, but therefore, because they think like him, to be able to act more like him.
All right. So now that we've defined what it is, how many have it?
Well, you know, we started doing this research back in the 1990s and, you know, continued it up a few years back. We were at around 10% 3 years ago. Now we're down to 7% of adults. And the alarming thing about that, apart from the fact that it's only 7%, is the fact that it's moving in the wrong direction. It went from 10% down to 9% and now down to 7%. So we're moving in the wrong direction.
Now, when you look at that, there's even some age differences there. Overall, we're at about that, that's a general number there. But when we start to break it out by age, We see that adults under the age of 35 are just half as likely as older adults to have a biblical worldview. So among millennials, 4% have one compared to 8% among Gen Xers, 9% among baby boomers, and 9% among elders. So it appears that as the population is aging, we're losing that biblical worldview. And I would have to ask that, I mean, you can't have a biblical worldview unless you know the Bible. And so is that at the heart of this, that people are just not fully immersed in the Scripture and its application to life?
Yeah, we found several things, Tony, that relate to this. One is that people are reading the Bible less. Second thing is that people are less likely to believe that the Bible contains truth. A third thing is that they're less likely to believe that the Bible is a reliable source of guidance for their personal life. And so you put all those things together, along with the fact that fewer and fewer people are saying that their religious faith is very important in their life. And then add that to the fact that churches and families are spending less time thinking about and investing in trying to develop a biblical worldview among children. We know that a person's worldview is basically formed almost for the rest of your life by the age of 13. There are some things that will change, and of course there can always be an individual who goes through dramatic change. You know, we would attribute that to the work of the Holy Spirit, but short of that kind of miraculous input from God, if people simply continue to follow the signs of the times and what the culture is teaching them, we're less and less likely to buy into the Scriptures and therefore to develop a biblical worldview.
All right, so George Barna, the $60,000 question, or $1 million question, however you want to put the value on it, the important question, how do we change that?
Well, you know, there are a number of things I think that are very important. We've got to look at what influences the way that we think and behave, and the greatest influence of all we're finding out of our research is the impact of the information and entertainment media. And when you look at the worldviews that are being given to us through news, through entertainment, whether it be television, music, movies, video games, whatever, it's consistently reinforcing various secular points of view. Very few of those media experiences are really leading us to a biblical worldview. So if that's the biggest influence, we're going to have to change that. The second thing is to recognize that it's the role of the family, parents in particular, to be developing the worldview of their children. Now, what's been happening, again, we're finding through the research, is that parents are abdicating that responsibility to other individuals and institutions. So they're looking to the schools and the government and the churches and the media and other places and people to take on that job for them because parents don't feel they know how to do it. And so perhaps one of the greatest things that churches could be doing these days is preparing parents to help their kids develop that kind of a worldview.
Wow. George Barna, great research, a troubling research, but we need to know where we are so that we can get to where we need to be. So I look forward to actually unpacking this more with you. We might do a special program just focused on this. So thanks, George. Thanks so much for joining us. And again, thanks for the research and sharing it with us.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, George Barna, to find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com, and follow the links over. All right, when we come back, we're going to take your phone calls. I want to talk a little bit more about this biblical worldview. Do you think that, is it your priority to operate from a biblical worldview? Do you put it through that filter? But first, we're going to get an update from Samaritan's Purse from Tim Haas down in Florida. Don't go away. More Washington Watch to come.
Do you feel out of touch with what's going on in our nation's capital? Do you want to make a difference this summer? Well, now you can. Family Research Council's Stand Firm mobile app is a new tool that is bringing Christians across America together in advancing faith, family, and freedom. The unique features of the app allow you to contact your congressman on important issues with just the tap of a screen. Sign up to organize culture impact teams in churches across the country and share the latest legislative alerts with family and friends. You can listen to Washington Watch live with Tony Perkins or read the daily Washington Update to stay engaged and informed on issues facing our country. Join now in building a network of activists as we stand firm together for His kingdom. Go to frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today. Again, that's frc.org/app and download the Stand Firm app today.
With everything that's going on in the world, it's easy to feel out of the loop. Here at Family Research Council, we want to help you stay informed on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. Get access to information fast by visiting our website and connecting with us on social media. Always be in the know by following us on Twitter, Instagram, and watching us live on Facebook. Download our app to access our FRCA's voter guide and contact your congressman with just a tap of the screen. You can also listen to Washington Watch Live with Tony Perkins and read the Daily Washington Update to stay engaged on the issues facing our country today. Have questions? Contact us anytime by visiting frc.org. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that. So what are you waiting for? Get the information you need to make a difference for biblical values and connect with FRC today. It's time to take a stand, and FRC can help you do just that.
Hello? Can you hear me? Are we losing our voice? 69% of American adults are using social media platforms to express themselves. But digital giants like Facebook, Google, and Twitter have collided with the free speech rights of citizen internet users. In the wake of a consistent pattern of censorship by tech companies of lawful but politically incorrect viewpoints, particularly those of conservatives and Christians, what is the legal status of digital free expression? Family Research Council hosted an expert panel discussion on the question of losing our voices. Who owns free speech on the internet? The panel speakers were Congressman Marsha Blackburn, civil liberties attorney Craig Parshall, and Brent Scorum, senior research fellow in the technology policy program at the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. To watch this discussion on one of the most important freedom of expression issues in decades, go to frc.org/voice. Again, that's frc.org/voice.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. PrayVoteStand.com. That's to take the pledge. Or you can do it at TonyPerkins.com. All right, we're going to take your calls here in just a moment. 866-372-7234. We were talking with George Barna. I find that research fascinating. Disturbing, but fascinating. It's so important. Especially teaching our children to have a biblical worldview. That is trying to make your decisions. Maybe it could be voting, could be in business, whatever it is, through the lenses of Scripture, the biblical principles, applying those. Want to know, is that important to you? Do you operate from that biblical worldview? Give some examples. We'll talk about that. 866-372-7234. But first, want to check in with our friends at Samaritan's Purse. Operating down in Florida and Georgia, responding to this latest hurricane. Tim Haas joins us. He is about 30 miles north of Mexico Beach at Wiwachahicca. I think I slaughtered that name. But Tim, welcome back to Washington Watch. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Tony. It's good to be with you.
All right. What's the status? It's been about 5 days, I think, since we last spoke. What are we looking at now?
Yes, sir. Well, each day, a little bit of progress, a little bit more hope for people that things are going to get better. There's lots of people in this area who still have great needs. I hesitate to say that people are in survival mode, but there is no promise of electricity in the next few weeks. It's still probably more than that. Water service is slowly being turned on to be more consistent. Cell service is getting a little bit better. But people here still have great needs with their homes, with their property, but they need so much encouragement. They need to know that they're not forgotten. They need to know that help is on the way. They need encouragement.
Yeah, and that is, we were talking about that before, how you begin to feel isolated because you're not getting information from the outside. The phones aren't working. You don't have electricity. You're not seeing the coverage of it. And so there is that isolation and then discouragement once you try to figure out how are we going to get back. And that's why I think the role of Samaritan's Purse is so critical in the communities, along with so many others. I mean, they're so big, no one entity can do it, including the government. And so it is truly a team effort of all Americans pulling together, helping one another. Are you getting responses for your call for volunteers?
Absolutely, Tony. We have been overwhelmed with people stepping up to say, send me, sign me up, get me into the place so that I can help out. And that's great. And we wish we could let all these homeowners know that. Because of infrastructure and because it's taking us just a little longer to get set up and get our feet under us, we're just trying to encourage them. That this is our third day of having teams out. Today we were at least able to have four teams out. We were in more than just one community, which is here in Wewahitchka. And we're able to get down to Port St. Joe. We're able to get down to Mexico Beach. We're able to get over to Callaway. And each day, again, a little bit closer, a little bit more encouragement, a little bit more light at the end of the tunnel, that at one day things will come back to where they'll have power in their houses. They won't have to worry about food. They'll be able to go to the grocery store and put things back in their refrigerators, which they just had to empty. So yeah. Samaritan's Purse is honored. We don't take this opportunity lightly, and we're in a dangerous situation. And we're trying to do everything we can to just be positive and encourage these people and help them, love on them, listen to them, pray for them. And it's been an honor to be here.
Well, we certainly do appreciate the work of Samaritan's Purse and going to continue to encourage people to either volunteer or support you financially. And so, Tim, thanks for giving us that update. And I bet if I were on the ground down there, I could say Wewahitchka a little bit better, just like you did.
You nailed it. You nailed it, Tony. Great job.
All right, Tim, great to talk with you. You remain in our prayers, and we're going to send more folks down your way. All right?
Thank you so much. Thank you.
All right, Samaritan's Purse, along with others, okay? But I just, as I said before, I've worked alongside them in multiple disasters, and nobody does it better. So go to SamaritansPurse.org. Maybe you can go volunteer, be a part of it, financially support them. In fact, I'm going to encourage you one more time. If you want to make a financial contribution, we're matching everything up to $10,000 that has come in to give to Samaritan's Purse in their disaster relief efforts. And then we're going to talk more. I'm a part of sending a team down to Cook in one particular area that's hard hit. In fact, we had Steve Sutherland on. We're sending some teams down to help him. But we're going to talk with him first of next week because it's going to be a long road back. But anyway, go to SamaritansPurse.org and see how you might help be a part of helping your fellow Americans get back on their feet and doing it in the name of Jesus Christ. All right, 866-372-7234. Talking about biblical worldview. And how important is that to you? And do you strive to make those decisions through the lenses of Scripture? Let's go to the phone lines, 866-372-7234. And we've got Tom. Tom, welcome to Washington Watch.
Well, thank you, Tony. It's good to be on. I lead discussion with high school kids on Sunday nights at my church. I'm a businessman, sales guy, travel the country, and we basically operate by letting them speak and then bring it back to a biblical conversation and show them Luke 4:16-21, where Jesus is beginning his ministry. And, you know, where he's bringing good news to the poor, setting the captive free, the blind have sight and declare the year of the Lord's favor. And those kids basically reduce that to worth, wisdom, freedom, and favor. And then they went as far as coming up with a little logo, if you will, called WF Squared, and put it on the front of T-shirts so that they could then engage with people. And I've had some of them go off to college and wear it in college, and where it's not too friendly to be a Christian, if you will. And actually, I've had professors ask what that little formula is, and they talk about that, and then the kids are able to say, well, it's, you know, it comes from an ancient text that we studied in a discussion group, and then take it into that. But the whole point of the worldview, though, is to really drive home worth, wisdom, freedom, and favor. That was Christ's call in that passage with you, if you will. And of course, he brings that to us through his grace and death and children of God, and that's our greatest worth. So anyway, I just wanted to let you know that's the way I just started this discussion out there, and that's how I've tried to move kids towards living that worldview, if you will, from a Christ perspective.
I think that is exactly what needs to be done. As George has pointed out in his research, that a worldview is not just something you catch. You've got to be taught. And the older generation that has, learned to apply, and it is a journey of learning to apply the principles of Scripture, you have to be intentional, and that's one way to do it, to have those discussions. Help me, and I think some of the other listeners might be interested in this. How did the young people respond to that at first when you started this discussion group?
Well, we started at first trying to lead them with subject matter, and then it got down to where we asked them to basically put on note cards anonymously questions that they have, doubts that they have, concerns, that type of thing. And I mean, it runs the gamut from sex to, you know, what if I don't believe in God? What if I think the Bible is prejudiced towards gays, to all of those types of things? And you have to deal with that, and that's what they want to talk about. And so it's a free-form conversation, and we had to come to some commonality, if you will, among us, because it runs the gamut of very liberal kids to very conservative kids. And it's interesting because this passage they can agree on when they reduce it to worth, wisdom, freedom, and favor. In fact, I've even talked to atheist kids about it, and they said, well, who can argue with that? And of course, and then I've had other kids ask me and say, yeah, but why do you need a God for that? Well, you really can't have worth without a God. I mean, without a God, you can't have intrinsic value. We're just animals at that point, and I can basically kill and eat you, right? So those are the kinds of candid conversations that we have in there. This T-shirt is catching on. They've even implied for a trademark on it, and so it's a fun conversation. But I think you have to get those kids talking first, and you have to get them talking the way they want to talk and in a format they want to talk in, and it's got to be. And sometimes it's got to be that anonymous question because they don't want to be called out or embarrassed or those types of things.
Right, absolutely. And it's the discussion, it's the engagement. Tom, thanks so much for calling and sharing that. That's fascinating.
Appreciate the time. Sure, thank you. You're great.
Absolutely. And I'm sure there's probably others of you out there that have had similar experiences. I did a Sunday night series for several months back when I was pastoring on a worldview, out of this world. And just focused on actually the way we did it, we had people fill out the cards. What questions do you have? So it was all anonymous, and they would, leave them, and then we would go through them. And through a series, we would address all of those issues, saying what the Scripture has to say. And it requires study. It requires that we spend time in the Scripture. But I'm finding, and in fact, George found this in some of his earlier studies, that Christians want to know this information, and young people want to know this information. So the idea that somehow they're not interested, they actually want their pastors to preach in a way that just doesn't make them feel good or is academic. And a academic view of Scripture, but rather a practical application of God's Word to our lives in the world in which we live. And if we don't, I'm talking to pastors now. If we don't approach the Scripture from that standpoint that it has application to our lives through our preaching, then why would we assume that people are going to live with a biblical worldview? So our preaching should reflect that focus on a biblical worldview, meaning that our preaching is designed to help people know how to apply it to the world around them and how they live in the year 2018, in the 21st century. And it's applicable. Believe me, the Word of God is just as relevant today as it was when it was written. And that's where I think pastors, Sunday school teachers, but not to miss what George said, parents, that parents need to be intentional about building within their children this biblical worldview. And this is interesting. Excuse me. And this has been repeated in various research and polling, is that, and you're gonna bow up here a minute when I tell you this, because you're gonna say, oh, that can't be true. That young people actually respect the opinion of their parents more than anything else. Now, I know, they sometimes don't act like it, but they do, and the research repeatedly shows that. So while you may not get the response that you want when you're having these conversations with your kids, know that you are planting seed and you're adding value to their lives. So whether or not they respond, you should continue. And, you know, it's a great, we have a, Sunday afternoons are kind of our disciple time around the lunch table. And we just, we have a weekly reading that we all read together. We read a chapter or two a day through the Bible. We're reading through the Bible in a two-year series, two-year plan. And we just discuss what we read, and we discuss how it applies, you know, the issues that we come up. And it's amazing. I mean, there's just about everything you can think of is covered in the Scripture. And sometimes you got to think about it. You got to pull it out. You got to have that discussion, and it's questions. And it's a dialogue. It's not a lecture. It's a dialogue. And I think that's extremely important for us as parents to be doing with our children. But let me just say, this issue of biblical worldview is critically important for any believer who wants to live the Christian life to its fullest. It's like trying to operate any piece of equipment without using the operating manual. And I know some of us try that, but usually we are forced to go back or at least let our wives read the manual. Each of us, if we're going to have a vibrant, successful, impactful, significant life with Christ, living that life in a way that impacts the world around us, living life to its fullest, as Jesus said that he came to give us, we need to be operating from that biblical worldview. And we need to invest in our children so that they're doing the same, the next generation. So, needs to be a priority. And I'm going to get with George. We're going to talk more about that. Well, folks, let me encourage you. Go to the website, TonyPerkins.com, and do a couple of things. One, if you haven't taken the pledge to pray, vote, and stand, and it's all in that order. You know, we need to be praying about how we're going to vote as we pray for the nation. Pray, vote, stand, take the pledge. And also, if you haven't already, partner with us as we partner with Samaritan's Purse to help our friends, family, neighbors down in Georgia and Florida. All right, folks, thanks so much for joining us. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul, found in Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.